Welcome to Hammer Dad.
Dad, number one sports gambling podcast coming out of Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. Sitting next to me will be Pat McAfee. Sitting next to him will be the Canadian sensation who apparently just forgot how we open our goddamn show.
Slow played it. You tricked me by not speaking into the mic.
Well, I never do. I never do. And on the phone, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, GM Shuffle Pod. Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi. Michael, how are you today, sir?
How are things, huh?
Things went how we thought they were going to go yesterday. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as a show, who did you have, Michael? You had?
I was 0 for 2. I mean, I liked Green Bay a lot. I really did. I liked Green Bay a lot, and I screwed that up. And then I thought Buffalo would keep it close. I thought KC would win. I thought Buffalo at 3.5 would cover. Was I wrong?
And then the rest of us were 1-1, which
yeah, I had the one that I liked the best that I've done is I had the Josh Allen rushing thing.
Oh, over.
That was a great call. That was a great call, Pison.
He went way, 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 way over.
Hey, before we get into all that, can I say something?
Yes, please do.
Speaking of great call, Pison, thanks for the call this morning. I called him before I got on Get Up this morning.
Oh.
I didn't know I was getting on Get Up till late last night.
Yeah.
Yesterday late. Yeah, it was whatever. And this morning I was trying to run through all my things, and I was like, who's a good person to either bounce ideas off of, or get my brain thinking in a certain way, or maybe make me realize something in the football world so I can sound smarter on Get Up? That man, Michael Lombardi. I appreciate you this morning.
Any way I can help, Pat, it's my pleasure. It's truly my pleasure. I appreciate you calling me. It's my pleasure.
I want to let you know I was just yelling at Orlovsky the whole time.
Let's start there, Mike. When you were talking to Pat this morning, what were your main takeaways from yesterday's games?
Well, I thought it was really coaching malpractice at the highest Green Bay. I mean, look, let's face it. If you were made the bonehead call that Mike Pettine did, Matt LaFleur said, I'm going to one-up you and not kick the field goal. I thought it really was a poor design of a game plan by LaFleur, considering he couldn't block Jason Pierre-Paul. He couldn't block him with Billy Turner at left tackle and never really gave him much help. You know, and Rodgers got hit way too much for a quarterback in that game. This lazy narrative by some national media people about Rodgers didn't play well again and he's the problem. I mean, it's got to stop. Like, the Packers organizationally let him down. He didn't let the Packers down. I mean, the Mike Pettine third down defense was truly bad. And then the defense at the end of the half, you can blame both Pettine and LaFleur for that. Like, that's inexcusable. That's coaching malpractice.
Right.
So what that game was. But the key component when I talked to Pat was this morning was, look, it just shows you how little these West Coast teams, these subcontracting teams, care about special teams. The Bucs' starting field position was the 37-yard line in the game. They
Unbelievable stat that you had this morning. 37-yard for the average drive start for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of Mickens' return and everything like that. No dogs on Green Bay. 37, and then Green Bay. Go ahead, Lombardi. It's a guaranteed loss,
23, basically. 23. I mean, Green Bay was on a long field the whole day. And so, like, people could say it, the special teams doesn't matter, but it matters. I mean, and it affects the game. And Rodgers has got to get another first down just to get even with them, you know. And I just really was disappointed. And you knew you couldn't run the ball on Tampa. They couldn't run it the last time they played them. You were going to have to put the ball in Rodgers' hands on some easy, quick throws. If you watch Kansas City, you can't get to Mahomes. The ball comes out too quick. And the same thing with Rodgers. If you can get into a passing rhythm, that should have never happened.
And by the way, if you look at Kansas City, the play designs are so – there's so much creativity. Now, granted, the Devontae Adams come in like he's in motion like you did and then cutting him back out and that whole thing. But the play designs, you don't really see – I don't know. They didn't adjust much either, it felt like. You know, now, granted, this is three touchdowns, 346 yards or whatever for a quarterback. But it just feels like everything – if Aaron's not the quarterback, how's that team do? You know, like
– that's a fair question, Pat. I mean, like, are they a 7-9 team? I mean, are they a 6-10 team? know, my cousin Vince, who's a Packer fan his whole life, you know, he thinks they're a 5-11 team without Rodgers. You know, I mean, like Pettin, I don't know how Pettin still has a job. Like, he signed a contract, but that call is that call is really bad. But LaFleur allowed it to happen.
Yeah. Hold on, Paisan. Will you explain that? You thought that at the end of the half there, 8 seconds, Tom Brady has a park on, comes back onto the field, 8 seconds left, fourth and whatever. You hear what the call is from Pettin. You think LaFleur should have radioed in there and said, nah.
We're not playing cover one. We're not going to play a midpoint zone. A midpoint zone is where you really have cover. You're playing like a zone, but you midpoint it because you think they're going to throw the ball in front of you. So you kind of just midpoint it, which means you stay there instead of going deep. So we're not going to play midpoint zone. So when they go back on the field, take a timeout. Okay, they came out in the formation. Look, here's the reality. We'll play three cloud. Make sure they don't get out of bounds and the ball's not over our head. Those are the two things. Anything in between, we're fine. They want to throw it down the middle of the field, we'll tackle the guy. If we miss a tackle and they score a touchdown, then we fucked up. But if we're going to tackle the guy, get him on the ground, they can't get the kicking team on in time. The longer the play goes, the less time they have to do anything, even if it goes out of bounds. But they let the ball get thrown over their head. Like, that is one of the worst calls at all. That's like Greg Williams-type call.
And you said the same thing about Adam Gase, about the Greg Williams call, and I believe Adam Gase came out the next day and said, like, yeah, I probably should have changed the call in that situation. I'm going to love to hear if LaFleur does the same.
LaFleur sat there and tried to defend his decision at the end of the game, okay, which I get, all right? So he said, well, you know, we made a call. It didn't go our way. No, it didn't. Here's why. So – You went for it. You didn't go for it on fourth down. You had to kick the ball through the end zone. Okay? Because if you didn't kick the ball through the – if you kick the ball through the end zone, then you get four timeouts. You get the two-minute warning timeout, and you start it again. So they don't kick it through the end zone. The kid takes it out. He goes up the knee at 202. Brady throws a pass. We all knew he was going to do it, right? He gets 9 yards. Now you got to jump off sides. Then the two-minute warning hits. So now it's second and two. Brady jumps offside. They jump off sides. It's 150. So now you've lost that timeout. You've lost that fourth timeout. Now you're down to three, and everybody's crying about the pass interference call. Look, say what you want about the call. It was inconsistent to the other calls, but it wasn't why you lost the game.
There's no need to kick that field goal. Whatever your reasoning is, if you get stopped on fourth and goal, Tom Brady has it on his own 8, and you can stop him there, and you still have a chance to tie the game.
If you score a touchdown,
yeah,
miss the 2-point conversion, you're still in the exact same position you're in right now. You're still going to have to get another score. They kick the field goal, you still have to get a touchdown. None of it makes sense, and I understand hindsight is the way it is, but if you're Aaron, and I have not talked to Aaron about this at all, Aaron and I don't have that type of relationship where I would ask that, but if you're Aaron this morning, you got to wonder, like, why would the ball not be in my hand?
And
why did we go for two?
Oh, why? Earlier, yeah, in the third quarter.
Why did we go for two? Now, I know Lazard should have caught the ball. I know it was tipped, but he still should have caught it. I get that. But why did we go for two there? If we don't go for two there, we kick the extra point. Now all we got to do is score. We got the game in overtime.
If you get to first goal, you're LaFleur, first and goal. You not tell Aaron, if we don't get this, we're going to kick on fourth. There was no communication there. Aaron did not know at all that they were going to kick it. LaFleur didn't tell him at all.
Aaron should know, maybe going into the drive or based on the drive, how the clock is going, stuff like that, on first down. LaFleur should say, hey, we're in four down territory right here, right?
He's too busy looking at his play sheet. He's looking for the next play. Nobody's managing the game. We're managing the game afterwards. Nobody's managing the game during the game. That's the biggest problem.
Hey, why isn't, like, and I'm assuming he is, but if you're Aaron, you're legitimately pretty furious, right? Like, because we talked about this in the earlier show or whatever. You know, there's a bunch of offensive coordinators. I don't know if it was AJ Hawk or Tone or somebody. So there's NFL coaches from around the NFL watching that game last night, offensive coordinators. AJ Hawk said it. And they're watching LaFleur, who has the MVP of the league, on the 8-yard line in the NFC Championship game with about 2 minutes left to tie it up. Now, granted, if they score there, Tom's probably going to go down. That's what Tom does. So maybe slowed – slow it down while we're also scoring to flip on the other side. But that's a whole nother conversation, no matter what happens there. But there's probably people thinking, they're kicking this field goal right now with Aaron Rodgers. I got to do this with some bum that can't even throw the ball. You got Aaron Rodgers. The gold zone is your thing. The red zone, the gold zone was their thing all year, best in the NFL. It's like, why not call a timeout right before there? Give me your best fucking play here. Let's go ahead and do this thing. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Why in the moment would you not do that?
Why wouldn't you on first down say, look, I want to, where do we really, where's our best? Here's what you, when you got the ball first and 10, at the first and goal at the 8, you got to look at your sheet and say, where's our best, what down a distance is our best red zone play? Is it the 4? Because really, when you're a play caller, you're on the 7 or 8. That's a little bit of a harder area to call than when you're inside the 5. If you're at the first and goal at the 4, second at the 4, you got a lot more options to play with, right? So, okay, Aaron, I want to get the ball to the 4. I'm not looking to get in the end zone. I want to get the ball to the 4. Because besides, as you said, I don't want to give them the ball back too soon. I don't want to throw 3 incompletions and then, you know, the fourth one, touchdown, they get the ball back. So, you know, let me get 4 yards here. Now I got 4 yards. All right, now here's my best call I have from the 4. Where are our best calls? Where are our best calls on this sheet? It's not play call to play call to play call. It's how do I set up my best calls?
Sicilian closed. Closed Sicilian.
Right.
Man, why is that happening? And then obviously, I don't think after listening to that press conference that Aaron was alluding to asking for a trade or retiring. But that's the conversation now with how the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers has been handled from an outside look. They're like, Aaron should be asking for his way out of there at this point. It's like, and people would be like, cool with it. People would be like, yeah, that's the right move.
Well, he's $10 million under. He's $10 million under Mahomes, and he's had as good a year as Mahomes could have, right? So you could say, well, he signed a contract. Well, I mean, the market significantly changed. Watson, you know, Watson's more than him. Mahomes is more than him. Should he get more than Mahomes? Maybe not. Mahomes is younger, but he's probably going to need to revisit his contract. Plus, you just told me what you think of me. You drafted this guy. You thought so little of me last year. You drafted a guy in the first round that, you know, he's not going to play as long as I'm here. So if you want him to play, you're going to have to trade me or pay me.
Mike,
you got to make on one of us. Are you going to carry Jordan Love for the next 3 years and not know who you have?
Mike, what do you think a quarterback who's going to be 38 with like 3 years, I think, left on his deal or whatever, what do you think the asking price would be? If, say financially a team can do it and the Packers just take the financials out of it, but what do you think he would go for?
You know, Jesus Christ, I mean, the way he threw the ball, there's some throws he makes in the game that you just shake your head and say, holy shit. Like he could play 4 more years at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to think, it's going to be a lot of picks. You're going to give up some picks. You're getting you're going to get the top 5 player in the league.
How many picks? 3, 4? You think 3, 4 number ones?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to go through that. Like 3 number ones is probably the highest price anybody's paid for any player. I can't imagine that at his age, but I could see it for Watson.
Yeah, I could be just because of his age, maybe 2.
Yeah, but if you think,
yeah, I know.
If you think that quarterback is your missing piece to get a Super Bowl, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You don't do it if you're a team that also needs to build around him. You do.
Bingo.
It.
Yeah.
It costs you 2 number ones. This is what always kills me. You're basically using that. You're not giving up 2 ones. You're giving up 1 1 basically. You're going to use that one on a player. You're getting a player back for him.
That makes sense. So, they put up a list of teams. As far as I'm concerned, there's only 2 teams that are involved for Rodgers. It's the Colts and the Niners, because those rosters are just as good, if not better, than what the Packers have. Anybody else, get out.
But there's no cap room. The Niners would need to create the cap room. They would have to trade Garoppolo. They could get involved.
Which?
You know. The Colts can do whatever they want to do. Ballard's in really good cap position. The Patriots can do anything they want to do. He's in good cap position.
The Patriots roster, though, Mike.
Huh?
The Patriots roster doesn't hold a candle to what the Packers have.
No, but let's face it. They got $70 million of cap room.
Yeah. You know, and they have all their defensive players coming back who opted out, too.
Yeah.
They get get Hunter Henry and Allen Robinson. Now you got now how does that compare to Green Bay's roster?
Yeah, it's by the way, great to look at. And you got the guy up there in Bill Belichick. And speaking of coaching staffs up there, Matty P, Matthew Patricia going back to New England, and Albert Breer is reporting in a Michael Lombardi-like role there. By the way, Trailblazers creating jobs for other people. Way to go. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is he going to be doing?
Well, I don't know. He'll do projects for Bill, kind of help Bill out, like give Bill, watch practice, write up practice the way you see it, so Bill can have basically another set of eyes, help him with game plan, help him with the draft, help him with anything player personnel. That's what I did. My background was more in player personnel than total coaching. Like, I wasn't walking in saying, Bill, I think we need to play, two mid-level against this, or, I was more of an overview, like, hey, here's their weaknesses, here are their strengths, here's how I see the game going.
Mike, staying on this level of news, as a GM, are you pissed if you're in Detroit and it gets out that Stafford wants out because it kills your value in the trade market this year? Or is that something that all GMs know anyways?
When he signed that six-year deal, Campbell, I said on my podcast Friday morning, I thought that they were going to trade Stafford. Because he signed a six-year deal. Why else would you give an unproven coach 6 years unless the quarterback's gone?
Does he get – is he worth a first?
Oh, Stafford's definitely worth a first. I would say there's – I would put – that's, again, Indianapolis and New England are competing for that one.
Let's go, Indy!
That's a young player. He's 33. He's got a gun. Everybody tells you he's a great kid. Everybody tells you he's smart. Everybody tells you he's tougher than shit. Like, what don't you like about Stafford?
Well, allegedly Motor City Dan didn't even get a chance to make that decision. That decision was made long before the head coach came in. I hope he ends up in Indy. I don't see it possible for Aaron to move, but it's a great conversation piece. There's one head coaching job still open down in Houston. Is that – who's going to go there, you think, Lombardi?
Sounds like Leslie Frazier. That's the word I hear all throughout the league, that it's Leslie Frazier's job. We'll see. I would assume Leslie's available this week. We'll see what happens there. They have one move to play, right? If you're Cal McNair and you keep reading all this stuff about how much
Bieniemy
there, maybe you go to Dabo Sweeney and say, I'll give you $20 million to come here and coach this team.
Dabo, please save my ass here. Do you need?
That'd be a PR nightmare for them.
Dabo will be doing the jury.
last night they were talking about it on the broadcast as it was Frazier for the defense coordinator of the Bills versus Bieniemy, offense coordinator of the Chiefs. It was their interview last night. I don't think that's how it works, though.
If you're Bieniemy, do you leave the Chiefs to take that job, though?
Just like the Lions job.
That's an absolute nightmare.
Don't you know if you want to be a head coach.
Yeah, if you want, he only got 32 jobs out there. And if he hasn't been offered a job, I guess go and get it, which, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, if you're Bieniemy, you get 6 years. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Man.
If you walk out with another Super Bowl, you got two Super Bowls, take a head coaching gig.
Yeah, but is he going to get offered? I think that's the big thing that everybody's pissed off is, like, he hasn't even been – I assumed at this point, to be honest, I thought he had already been offered a job and he said no to it. I guess that's not the case. That's wild, by the way.
The only job that he really could have had so far is the University of Colorado. Never really been a finalist for any job.
That's interesting, man.
That is interesting. Oh, speaking of that game, not as bad as LaFleur because of the situation.
Fucking not making it 16.
But, yeah, McDermott not making it 16, and then McDermott not going for it and kicking field goals when you're down and you know Mahomes is going to just keep scoring point after point. Like, I feel like the Bills went for it all season long on fourth and three or less, and now they decided to kick field goals in the game too.
I was really disappointed in the – even though he had 7 rushes for 88 yards, I was disappointed he didn't run it more. I really was. I thought he would run the option. I thought he would, with all that man coverage, they blitzed him to try to control him in the pocket. Once they started blitzing him, I thought Buffalo got really concerned and nervous.
Yeah, he just, every time they blitz, Allen just kept going backwards. You couldn't even see where the first down line was.
Right, and then he wouldn't get rid of it or whatever because he's trying to extend a play. But whenever he starts running, man, he gets going. I mean, that was a good eye by you, good bet. He's a great athlete, but granted, now he takes a big shot, he's out of the game, it's a whole different ordeal, they're trying to protect him. But it did feel like in moments that most coaches get most aggressive, they got most conservative. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tyler Big Ball Bass is going to make kicks for you, but it just felt like 3-7 to different direction is not good good math that favors you there.
You think this is coaches that don't have that much experience though, Mike?
What is the problem?
I do. I mean, look, I think you had to set that game plan up the whole way where you're going for it on. Once we cross midfield, we're going for it.
Well, they did early the first time, first drive they did.
But you need a lot of those plays. You can't have just two of them. You can't have, you know, you got to have a ton of them. You just got to say, we're doing it, fellas. We're going for it. There's no looking back. They couldn't stop them. Look, they got scared to death. Look, I don't give a shit what anybody tells me, right? The best receiver in all of football. The best receiver in all of football. It's not Julio Jones. It's not Michael Thomas. I don't give a shit who it is. It's Tyreek Hill. And he is by far the best receiver in all of football. Like, it's not even close. And when they put White on him on that drive, the first drive on the first third down, and he made White look like he was a college free agent the way he separated from him, and Mahomes threw it just a little bit outside, that Buffalo, you could feel them shit their pants on the sideline like, holy shit, we're in trouble. We can't play man.
Especially
and they won the game.
That Chiefs defense picks their game up and play. I mean, the Chiefs, everyone says you can't do it, you can't do it. The Chiefs, you can, in fact, flip the switch.
Hold on one second, though. The defense you're referring to, though, they because they were in man, they got scared, they went to zone. You were about to say, you can't do zone against that offense, though.
No, you can't do zone against that offense. What you have to do is you got to double fucking hill. Like, when he gets off the bus, we're going to put somebody over his ass, put somebody over him, behind him. And then we're not going to let Kelsey come off the line like, hello, how are you? I'm just going to get into my route. Why don't you guys watch me like it's a 7-on-7 drill in April?
That touchdown when he just waited to just walk and wide
open. You would think the Bills can do that because you talk
over Kelsey and just say, beat the fuck out of him at the line and then let him go.
And you would think they can do that because Trey White led the league in interceptions last year. He's an all-pro back-to-back years. And then they have good safeties to do that. But and then Milano, who played safety in college, who's a good cover linebacker, but they just decided not to do that. And then they did highlight on the broadcast that Kelsey was just like, here. The DN was like, here, go ahead. Just fucking release. It's fine.
He's always open.
What Romo was trying to say on the broadcast was he wanted somebody to jam the fuck out of Kelsey and then rush.
The thought, though, of Kelsey always being open is insane. And a lot of it, I'd assume, is because there's Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill and everybody. But it feels like when a play, you know, Pat's going to Kelsey. And then all of a sudden, as soon as Tyreek gets it, it's just lightning. It's fascinating.
I've never seen a player like Tyreek Hill in my life. I really haven't. I mean, I was with Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice was incredible. This guy with the ball in his hand can turn a 3-yard gain into – it's like they should just start playing beep, beep music. Beep, beep, boop.
Well, and remember what Sammy Watkins did in the Super Bowl last year. He could be good to go for the Super Bowl as well.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, it opened up as 3.5. Chiefs are the favorite. It's down to 3, even though 84% of the money right now is on the Chiefs. Gumpy and I actually talked about this off-air this morning. Sportsbooks are going to have to do a little bit of that because they had so many future bets on the Bucks at such high odds. Mike, we talked about it too last show. What are your early thoughts on the matchup between the Chiefs and the Bucks?
I mean, if the Chiefs play like they did yesterday, I don't see how anybody can beat them. I mean, Brady threw 3 interceptions in the game.
One and a half.
I mean, Brady should have thrown 4. I mean, I love Tommy as much as anybody, but did the Bucs win or did Green Bay lose?
Yeah,
probably the second part.
I mean, yeah, if this, I'll take this at -3. Like I said, if it goes down to -2.5, give it to me again. Like, it's the Chiefs. Like, everyone talked about, well, the Bills could. No, nobody can stop the Chiefs but the Chiefs. I'm sorry.
Two tackles out. Schwartz isn't going to play. I think Andy Reid said it was highly unlikely.
Yeah.
They're going to have no tackles, but they get the ball out so quick.
Well, look at what they did to Tampa's defense last game.
I know. I got to watch it again. I'm going to study it today. I got to go back over it. But, I mean, I just don't see how anybody beats this team. They can score at a wrap. I mean, they scored 21 points in the second quarter like it was fucking nothing.
They were down 9-0 after they fumbled it on their own 2-yard line. Any other team, that team could be done for the game.
Hey, and videos are coming out now of the sideline after Mecole Hardman
muffed.
Yep. We botch
botched muff.
Muff. It was definitely a muff, dropped. Though. Can't advance it. McCall Hardman comes to the sideline, though, and Travis Kelce's basically like telling him, like, this ain't a big deal. And Patrick Mahomes says, oh, you're going to make a big play. Everybody on that team makes big plays. And it just feels like this is the team we thought they were going to be all season. They never covered for any of us all season because we thought this was their team. And it makes so much sense because when they need it, they do it. And that's just what they do. They whenever they need it, they got it. And that's a problem for everybody.
Isn't it wild? What other team in the NFL or of all time can not have four of their starters that started it on the offensive line in last year's Super Bowl and be like, ah, not a big deal.
And a broken toe in a quarterback.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the guy makes incredible plays, but I'm telling you something, fellas, that if you took Hill off this team, I think Kelce's great. But if Hill's not out there, what he does, the way he changes field position within an instant, he's the problem. He's the problem with Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is the point guard. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's great. I'm not dismissing him, but this Hill guy, like if we were picking up teams to play inside the complex there in Indy, he's the first pick. I'm not taking Julio Jones over him. I'm not taking anybody over him.
Didn't Tyreek Hill have like 250 yards in the first half against the Bucks last game?
They played man. Bowles played man and didn't have anybody on top. He ran by everybody they had. We've tried that. It doesn't work.
I just can't see how anybody can stop this team. Like,
but the Chiefs defense, to Gumpy's point from earlier, yes, also balling.
They play. I mean,
they lay the wood too.
Yeah, they were.
We've said this all year. They have never played a complete game, but they've never not been in control of games. They've always been in control. I say the Atlanta game was the one game they really weren't in control of.
They were.
Nobody's been able to do what the Raiders did and play them as close as the Raiders did or Carolina. And I think the problem, too, and I'm going to tell this to some friends of mine, if you want to beat them, you got to be in some two back. You're going to have to punch them around a little bit. You can't just play finesse with them and beat them like Buffalo. You got to have some power. You're going to have some way to control the game a little bit more, like New England did in 18 when they beat them there.
Well, that was also old buddy was lined up offsides.
Yeah. Yeah, D Ford. They scored 24 points in 3 minutes and 31 seconds. It's still the most remarkable thing ever.
And the Bucks, I mean, they ran the Fournette had one really, really good run, but they didn't really run the ball much at all yesterday against the Packers defense, who hasn't been great.
Patton's playing. I mean, like at some point, the players matter, right? Like, that's Mike Evans over there. That's not an ex receiver. So you can't have your worst.
No. Analytics said that if they kicked a field goal on fourth and goal at the 8, they had a 9.5% chance of winning. If they went for it, they had a 10% chance. So not that doesn't matter if Tom Brady's on the other side or if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. That's what the analytics say.
3 out of 115 teams kicked a field goal in that situation, Mike.
Look, I think a lot of it is who's in control of the game and who's in the lead. And if you tell me for 1 minute that you thought that the Packers played great defense in the second half, I would say you're wrong. The Bucks played bad offense. Brady made bad throws, and you caught some interceptions, but you really never made them punt. You never played three and out and got control of the game.
Yeah, two of those interceptions that Brady threw, Evans was open on both of them.
Wide open.
It was the first time the Packers have been behind in a very long time, too. Packers, every game, have gotten the ball first, threw right down the field, up 7-0. There you go.
By the way, can't have a bad punt there early. When momentum's swinging, you could feel the momentum was completely going towards Tampa or whatever, and you have a 38-yard punt, can't have it. Can't have it. Can't win with it.
Can't have what happened at the end of the half to you and then the very first possession.
Have a turnover.
Hey,
Packers did everything you can to lose that game, and the Bucs tried to too. I mean, three picks and points off of them.
It was an awesome game.
It's unbelievable. They did everything in their power to and Green Bay's got a chance to win the game at the end, as bad as they played.
It was wild. It was absolutely wild. I can't wait for the fucking Super Bowl. Can't wait. Mike's gonna watch the tape. We're gonna talk about it on Thursday. Probably have some NBA and college bets.
Oh, we got some today, don't we?
Oklahoma State -2.5. Cade Cunningham was supposed to be out. He is on the bench. He is very good. -2.5 is a good spread on that.
Hey, that's a good pick, Eric Gump. You do any basketball gambling, Lombardi?
I love basketball. Yeah, I mean, I go break down them on the Lombardi line every day. We talk about it, you know. I we're trying to work our way through this. You know how these teams are staying in cities? Mm-hmm. You know, so now these guys, they can't leave the hotel. They can't leave anywhere. You know, most people think, well, without the travel, they'll play better in the back-to-back. Like tonight, Detroit 6.5-point dogs to Philly. I mean, the Detroit coverage on Saturday night, they were six dogs. They were 5.5 dogs early in the day, and then when Embiid was going to play, it went back up to 8. So, yeah, I try to keep track of the – I love the NBA. I learn more watching the NBA as it relates to football than I do anything.
That's the tough thing with college basketball is they'll play back-to-back. A team will win by 20, then they'll be -5 the next day, and then they won't cover. They're like, there's a lot of people who are just doing a zigzag on back-to-backs and winning a lot. Right.
I'll give you one, Gump. Here's one for you today. Arizona State's playing Arizona. They played days ago. Arizona won by 2 at Arizona State. The line opened at 7. Now the line's down to 4.
Yeah, I'm
good, you know?
Yeah, I watched that game. I'm very much on Arizona tonight, Mike.
Okay, there you go. How about Texas Tech, West Virginia? Like, okay, West Virginia, you know, they got their home. Texas Tech comes in. The line opened up. It opened up at 2.5. And then the West Virginia, and then it shot immediately down to 1.5. Like a lot of people are coming in because Texas Tech with Chris Beard, I mean, they give up 59 points a game. They play really good defense, and so does your boy Hardtack. So, you know, I hate betting against the Mountaineers at home because I think there's a distinct advantage in Morgantown.
Yeah, Texas Tech hasn't played in a bit either, Mike. I didn't touch the spread. I took West Virginia money line in that one. They're playing good ball right now.
What college game are we on together tonight?
Ooh. West Virginia. South Illinois.
Oh, yeah, Southern Illinois we're on.
Connor's here. What do you got?
High Point,
yeah,
Fairview.
I got a little NBA here. I like Steph Curry, 30 points, Golden State to win at home against the T-Wolves.
Let's go.
That's +152. And then I'm going to stick it in Indy and go with Sabonis, 25 points, and the Pacers to win. That is +450.
Atta boy.
So let's ride.
How about anybody like the over of San Antonio, New Orleans tonight? Because New Orleans plays no defense. I mean, they play zero defense whatsoever. I think the line's at 2. It opened at 225. It shot down to 223. People are playing the under.
They also New Orleans cannot cover a game to save their lives.
No,
they
can't.
No, I would stay away from
But Zion can score.
Yes, he can.
Take his over.
My first NBA bet of the year tonight was the Bulls +4 against the Celtics.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we'll do a little basketball talk here going forward.
Whatever you need, I'm here for you.
Hey, Mike, thanks for everything.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk. What are we doing Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Hey, before you go, what are your thoughts on that NBA ref, Donahue?
Listen to Whistleblower, the podcast.
Is that his pod?
You talking about the Donahue pod?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to listen to that. Tim Livingston, that's a tremendous pod. Tremendous. I don't believe that he was just operating independently.
No.
Of course, I don't believe Lee Harvey Oswald was operating
independently. Hey, you just got taken off the internet for sure. Shout out you, dude.
Have a good day, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one, Mike.
Yeah, Mike knows his NBA shit.
Yeah, he does. He's all in. He speaks to a lot of NBA teams, I guess.
He said he knows more people. Not more people, but he knows a lot of people.
No, he said more people.
The college basketball is tough, man. It is.
It stinks. It's tough to watch.
I looked at a game tonight. I think it was Utah State and UNLV. And Utah State just played Colorado State, and they won the first game by 20. Yeah. And then, they were 5 or 6 point favorites in the second game, and they lost by 10.
Oh, classic swings, you know, trying to figure out the game, trying to learn a little bit. Good sound technique in their basketball down there. Why was Coach K trending?
He told some poor kid he was basically just buried in a press conference.
Okay, I watched the press conference. We all thought that was a burial of that kid.
I mean, he was just asking a question, and it's just because Duke stinks.
Yeah, but like him,
it wasn't a burial, but it was like a lot of people were just looking for Coach K not to be.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's gone Coach K's way for a long time, and now Duke's having a tough year. He wants to cancel the season, you know.
I do remember him canceling. Like, that's garbage, okay? I am not a noted Coach K supporter here. I would like to let that be known. I have come out against Coach K on numerous occasions. But when I watched that press conference, I didn't see what exactly – unless I missed something. But the economy major, right? Is that
the yes.
Yeah, the kid.
And, you know, it'd be like you failing your biggest test and then asking you, like, I guess it's kind of him burying him, but I didn't think it was as, the internet was all, like, Coach K killing this.
All the kid did was Coach ask K. what the next steps are in this, and Coach could have been like, well, we're going to have to get better at this and this and that. Instead, he was like, well.
Oh, just the fact that he even gave
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Got you.
It wasn't like the kid asked him like a very tough or like a bad question. It was a common question.
Did he know it was a college kid?
Yeah,
I would assume.
Well, yeah, if he said the econ thing, I assume so. Or if he said, or no, he asked him what his
major was.
Major.
Oh, yeah. So I was very confused on how an econ major was even in there. I mean, I had a lot more questions coming out of that thing.
Got a minor in journalism, I think.
Yeah. So does everybody that has a minor in journalism is allowed to just go into these press conferences?
I looked at his Twitter. He's like, he does the beat for Duke's school paper or whatever. He's the beat reporter.
Shout out to him, dude. Having a moment there. Did he say that he felt like buried by Coach K?
No. What did he say? He said, I don't know what I said or something.
No, I think he tweeted. He tweeted like, didn't expect my first interview to go this way.
Oh, that was his first one.
First question.
First question.
Hot start. Okay,
so now I see why people, because Coach K was like, welcome to the fire, kid.
Basically. Which is fine.
Oh, there's a new face in the Zoom. What the fuck are you doing? Oh, I didn't know that. All right, so that's a little different. Because normally these coaches meet with these every single day.
Yeah.
You know, like it's correct. An every single day thing. So I would assume, you know, you get to know people. But kid's first day. Oh, okay. Makes sense why everybody was in uproar. Hey, why don't you shut the fuck up? What type of question is that? Oh, it stinks, kid.
Plus, it was on a Saturday night. People might have had a little bit of
pops.
Ooh.
You whiskey guy on the weekends?
During the winter.
Tony Claus.
Claus and whiskey, yeah.
You drinking White Claws still? People still drinking White Claws?
I'm still crushing them.
I thought that was going to be a trend that potentially never went away because that was a game changer. If that was around back when I was hammering alcohol, I couldn't even fathom what I would do to that
stuff. I don't get full at all.
Yeah, if you can give people an option to drink where that's not that unhealthy for you, they're going to take it every time.
It's like a wine drunk too, right?
I don't even know. I don't even know how to. It's nice.
It's almost its own category.
I chugged a couple there on the bachelor trip in a golf course. It's the only time I've ever had any on a golf course. Like Sprite. I loved it. Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
What did you say it's like, Connor?
It's like Sprite.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
The lime and lemon ones.
Do people get real, real fucked up off them?
Not me, no.
Myth shaking his head, yes. So I'm going to assume, yeah.
Matt, you get fucked up on the claws, dude? No laws, we're drinking
coffee. All right, we'll see you Thursday. Hammer.
Done.